Hare Krishna. Oh, Hari Bo Maharaj. Hare Krishna. I want to first, before starting, greet you affectionately, and I want to thank the devotees from the Krishna Balaram temple for being so kind upon me to invite me after the month of Kartik is over to come and be here and render some service. It is very nice, or let us say very important for us disciples of Srila Prabhupada to be so lovingly welcome in the house of our Father and to try to offer our little seva. It is very grateful. I wanted to just bring to your attention that today is a new start. Something old has finished and something new is about to start. The month of Kartik, with its unique opportunities for receiving the mercy of Srimati Radharani, has now, was yesterday with the full moon. Maybe you saw in the night very, very full and bright moon. That was now over. Now it comes to the time when we have to apply our insights, where we have to see how we can utilize what we have learned to make our next steps in devotional service. And I will attempt to do the service to give you a general principle based on the Bhagavatam, a general principle that will help you to put your insights into practice. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Is a series of verses. I will just tell the English or chant alone. Eka eveshvarastasmin surayakarye sureshvaraha vihatu kamastanaha samutran matanadibi. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of the demigods, was capable of performing the activities of the demigods himself, he wanted to enjoy pastimes in churning the ocean. Therefore, he spoke as follows. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Hanta brahmam aho shambho he deva mama bhashitam shrinuta vahita sarve shreyo vasyadyata sura. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other demigods, please hear me with great attention. For what I say will bring good fortune. Shreya means good fortune for all of you. Repeat please after me. Jata dana vadaiteyais. Tavat sandir vidyata. Kalena nukrihita iste. Yavat vo bhava atmana. If you please allow me, because of the time constraints, I will go directly to. I will continue now. As long as you are not flourishing, the Lord is speaking, no? As long as you are not flourishing, it's not going so well, you should make a truce. Truce means an alliance. You should make a truce with the demons and asuras who are now being favored by time. Purport. One word in this verse has two readings, Kalena and Kavyena. Kalena means favored by time, and Kavyena means favored by Shukracharya. Shukracharya, being the spiritual master of the Daityas, the demons and Daityas were favored in both ways. You know, Shukracharya was on their side, and the time was with them. It was their time to flourish, their time to be victorious. The demons and Daityas were favored in both ways, and therefore the demigods were advised by the Supreme Lord to execute a truce, a contract, no? Allegiance, for the time being, until time favored them. There's also text 20. Arayopis hisandeya satikaryata gaurave ahimushikavateva yatasya paravimgati. The Lord continues. O demigods, fulfilling one's own interests is so important that one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. My dear devotees, being myself not an English native speaker, I have to ask the question, do you understand what is a truce?
Yes.
Truce. Some people shake their heads, not the Indian way, which can mean yes or no, but a truce is, let me say, I want to reach a goal, and I will then go to a driver and I will say, yes, ordinarily we don't have company, we are not together in life, but I need to go from the Delhi airport to Vrindavan. We need to form now a company. You need to help me and I will help you. You will drive me and I will give you a certain amount of payment. So a truce is like an allegiance. You form an unlikely company in order to reach something, your goal. This will be explained by Srila Prabhupada according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. What is the logic of the snake and the mouse? Listen. A snake and a mouse were once caught in a basket. Now, since the mouse is food for the snake, this was a perfect opportunity for the snake. However, since both of them were caught in the basket, even if the snake ate the mouse, the snake would not be able to get out. Therefore, the snake thought it wise to make a truce with the mouse and asked the mouse to make a hole in the basket so that both of them could get out. The snake's intention was that after the mouse made the hole, the snake would eat the mouse and escape from the basket through the hole. This is called the logic of the snake and the mouse. So it's very important to understand what will come afterwards. So ordinarily, the snake and the mouse would not have formed a company. The snake would just have jumped on the mouse and eaten it alive. But here, the snake had a higher purpose. It was caught in a basket, like a prison in a prison. It needed the mouse to gnaw or eat through the reed, means the material of the basket, and then it would be able to escape. Yeah, this is the idea. It's a subtle point. You need to really be attentive to catch it, but it will hopefully be for all of our benefits. So let's say the prayers together. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskachare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. In this lecture, I will try to present to my audience that it is necessary if you want to reach the ultimate goal of your life, Krishna Prema, to form a realistic and workable relationship to your body and mind. Because this is a point which needs very close inspection, and because it might be a point where you feel a little uncomfortable, I request you to give me your full attention and think deeply about this. Because if this is understood, you can practice Krishna consciousness with a powerful tool called Yukta Vairagya. What that is, you will learn a little later. We will hear a little later. So, good. Let us start. Lord Krishna knows your pains and he knows your pleasures because he is there in the heart. Now the moment where Krishna sees that a devotee is very serious, no matter what are his pains and pleasures, what works or what does not work, the moment Krishna sees a devotee is very serious about becoming Krishna conscious, then he is ready to help in all respects. Krishna is in the heart of everyone and he is neutral. He gives everyone their fortune and their misfortune, their ups and their downs, their pains and their pleasures, according to their karma. But he is very inclined towards his devotees. In the Gita he says, Tesham evanukampatam aham jnana yam tamaha. No, he's there in the heart. And when he sees someone is serious to obtain him, he is there in the heart and he takes a torch, a burning, light-giving torch, and he holds it up in your heart and all the avidya, the ignorance which keeps you bound in this world is destroyed by the torch of transcendental knowledge. No? Krishna is like this. So just to become serious, Krishna will know this in your heart. He will recognize it immediately. It is said, just like someone becomes aware of a flower by smelling it, even from the distance, Krishna becomes aware of what your desires are in the heart. He so to say, smells you. He perceives your desires. However, my dear devotees, and now it gets dramatic, however, he will test you. He will see if you are a cheater. He will see if you say one thing, but your desires go in another direction. And he has his Maya Shakti, which will test you. And this is so powerful that we cannot cheat, we cannot pretend. Maya will see, will send some obstacles, and she will cover you, your true knowledge, and he will drive, she will drive you or throw you down. Only the very serious persons will be able to overcome the avaranatmika and vikshepatmika shaktis of Maya, the covering and the throwing potencies. Others will be covered and they will be pushed into unfortunate situations of life where they will learn in the indirect way to become serious so that one day they are ready to throw up their hands in the air like Draupadi and say, I surrender unto you. Hey Govinda, please Govinda. No? Don't think that this is cruel. This is one of the ways the Lord helps us to become really serious so that we will be able to come to Him. Now, my dear devotees, as you understand, life is a journey. Life is a journey where you, where things happen to you while you make completely different plans. Hare Krishna. Maybe those who are a little older amongst us will know the wisdom of this. We have the highest desires, but things happen. We become ill. We become bewildered on our journey. We lose the goal. We doubt, is this all true? We have heard dying people often have to pass through this, where they think, oh, I have so much doubt. Is Krishna really true? I mean, God who takes care of dairy products. I'm a vegan. You know, milk is not healthy. You know, I'm not saying this. I'm saying this, people doubt like this. All things happen to us. We wanted to be brahmachari all life. But then brahmacharini kashati came. Kashati means attractive force. And something happened with the color of our dhoti. We wanted to be successful in our devotional service. But then we see, we are so weak-hearted. We are often knowing what to do, but we act in a different way. In other words, yes, we will be tested on the journey of life. And if we want to be successful, my dear devotees, there is a very powerful process that the Lord describes to Uddhava in the 11th canto. It is about making a truce with the body and the mind. Not fighting the mind, not fighting the body, but using them intelligently so that my goal will be reached. Krishna. Krishna says, this process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent. And the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary That's the body, the mind, states of mind, and the unreal. One can use the temporary and the unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. And there is a purpose to this, what it means to use the temporary and the unreal to reach the eternal reality. The inhabitants of Bharata Bhumi are mortal. They have to die. And they are born in low families. But they can offer me their bodies, which are actually not worth a penny. For they are often deformed and will eventually be afflicted with old age and disease. They can offer their bodies. But through their offering, although it's useless, they can attain me, the ocean of sweetness. I accept their offering. I, who am supposed to be the cleverest, give myself with joy to the devotees, along with my priceless ornaments, my bracelets, and my crown. So aren't these inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi the most intelligent and skillful? Think about it. In the world of men, if you offer a penny, invest a penny in business, and you get back 1,000 gold coins, are you not intelligent? Are you not clever? In the same way, if you offer your body and mind, which is not so worthy, it is often something which binds us to the world. If you offer the body and the mind, you can get Krishna. And you get his decorations, they come along. And his beautiful crown comes along. You get him entirely. This is a way of saying. You can learn to use intelligently something of lesser value to reach something of the highest value. Now, the purport continues. What does it mean to use my body and my mind, these temporary things, to gain Krishna? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asked this question. What does it mean to give one's body to the Lord? It means to engage the ear and other organs in hearing, chanting, remembering, and service. If the tongue is engaged in chanting, if the ears are engaged in what?
Hearing.
If the hands are engaged in service, then one is giving one's body to the Lord. This verse is the touchstone among all other verses. Touchstone is something, I take something which is not so valuable, like this thermos, and I touch it with the touchstone. Bing! And it's pure gold. Wow! This verse is the touchstone among verses. The essence of all the Lord's teachings. He who has this verse realized in his heart, shining in his heart, he shines in the assembly of the devotees. So, we have this body and the mind. For most conditioned souls, this body and the mind is a means to to sense enjoyment. I know some of you have already planned today's pizza. You can use your tongue. I have in the refrigerator one manohar ladu, and I'm already making plans. I will take it out 10 minutes before I eat it from the refrigerator, and I will put it under the sun so that it melts a little, and then... So body and mind are used ordinarily as means for sense enjoyment. That's how we are trained. That's how our sanskaras, our deep, unconscious impulses drive us. But if you are intelligent, you understand, I can get something much more valuable than that pizza in the MVT restaurant or that manohar ladu in the refrigerator. Something much more valuable is waiting for me, the Lord. If I just use these things intelligently into the Lord's service with the what was it? With the tongue I will chant, with the ear I will hear, and with the mind I will think about and remember Krishna, which is easy if I read regularly. I will read, and with my hands I will do some service. If you make an intelligent plan to use this, my dear devotees, you will be overwhelmed with a very wonderful result. You will be surprised how your life becomes successful. If you wish to make your life successful, you have to apply the process of the Bhagavatam. Shravanam, to hear. Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna. If you hear about Krishna, either the holy name or you read in the scriptures, then the Lord in the heart becomes pleased. The Lord who knows everything about you, who knows all about your challenges, who knows all about the secret things which you think and which you do and which you do not tell in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. He knows everything, the Lord. If he sees you, oh my devotee, he wants the right thing, but there is a force working counter against his own interest, then he personally becomes your best friend and clears away with his own potency your abadranis, your inauspicious things, your obstacles, your inner obstacles. For an ordinary conditioned soul who has not such a strong willpower, it's very, very hard to overcome this second nature, which is since time immemorial tuned in. My Maya, to try to enjoy the material world and get kicked by Maya. It is not easy, but with the Lord's help, it's simple. Because the Lord is more eager at this stage than we, who are still divided, that we come back to Him in the kingdom of God. But we have to apply intelligently the process. We have to apply the process of hearing the Bhagavatam, the holy name, and chanting it properly, We should become scientists in how do we hear. There are three instructions in the Bhagavatam how this great work must be heard. It must be done regularly. It must be done with faith, even if it's theoretical. Okay, let me hear. This is the Bhagavatam. Let me now hear. It's good. It's good. Let me hear. And it must be done svachestitam. Svachestitam means with a great effort to be attentive to its subject matters and to have a life which is conducive, which is good. You know, a life where you follow certain principles that help you so that you are not all the time bound by Maya. This is the Bhagavatam process. This is how this great work needs to be read. This is I was quoting a verse when I told you about the three things from the second canto of the Bhagavatam. It is said, anyone who hears regularly with faith and makes an endeavor, he will soon have the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifest in his heart. And the Lord will help you because he sees who you are. He sees your pains, your struggles, and also when you do well, your successes. He sees that and he will help you in immediately when he sees you are serious. But you will be tested. Maybe some of you have been tested in Vrindavan. Maybe you had your hours of pain and doubt. Huh? No? Yes? No, anyways, you never say what is in your heart in the public. This is a good principle. No, we are tested. And we have maybe seen, wow, all of a sudden help was there and I overcame my physical illness and my mental distortion, my bewilderment, because Krishna is there in the heart. He is real. He's more real than our doubts in him. He is there. He always was there. And he wants you. And when he sees someone like you, visiting the Holy Dham at the time of Kartik, going to the temple, hearing patiently the lectures, taking part in the kirtans or in parikramas, oh, Krishna is so satisfied. Someone has come to my home, my home place. But you need to work together with the body and mind. A very, very convincing example of how to overcome a problem by making a truce with the mind is one individual. He was from Avanti, that's in the where we have a temple also, and he was a Brahmana. He had fields. I have seen the Goswamis, the Brahmanas from Nandagram have many, many fields where they grow their crops. So he had also fields. And he was very rich, actually, this Brahmana. But time turned against him, like it will turn against every one of us. And he lost all his fortune, and his family hated him because he had been bad to his wife and to his son. And he was thrown out of the house, and he could not from one moment to the next, everything was taken away from him and he became a beggar, a monk. But when he was a beggar, the problem started. People didn't take him serious. They thought, oh, look at this rascal. He was so rich and he was so miserly. He treated his wife and children so bad. So now he all of a sudden, where he has lost everything, he has become a Hare Krishna Hare Ram. He is not serious. He is pretending. And they were very bad to him. You can't imagine how bad they were. They were insulting him. They were spitting in his face when he was humbly there begging. Once he had obtained a meal after begging for a long time, and so he was just about to eat, then some rascal came, stood before him, and passed his water on his meal so that it became impossible to eat it. People were stealing his only possession, his little begging bowl, and they were really insulting him. Now what happens to normal people when they are insulted? Insulted. Huh? If someone writes bad about you in the internet, or if the rickshaw driver says, you Westerner, give me 150. And you go, price is 80. You want 150. And then he gets angry at you, pang, 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 and insults you. Then, you know, your Rajagun comes up. No. You want to defend yourself. Offenses, especially of those who are next to us and who tell you, oh Maharaj, your class was extremely boring. You were only loud. You didn't tell me anything new. I tried to prepare. Oh no. You know, you feel bad when you are attacked. Oh no. Or when other obstacles come, obstacles in the body, you get ill, you get a cough. I already, in a few days, we will start our Govardhan retreats, and I can hear already the symphony of coughings. did I make the right decision? At that time, my dear devotees, make a truce. Say, my dear mind, my dear brother mind, I need you now. Don't react. Don't become disturbed. Don't become bewildered. Or when your body is weak, you must make a truce. You must say, my dear body, I know you are exhausted. I know you are weak. I know you had 20,000 light years diarrhea so long. I know, but we are here in Vrindavan. Let us make best use of the temporary state of the mind and of the temporary body. And let me engage in hearing about you, Krishna, chanting about you, and serving you. This is what the Brahmana did. You know, he was tried so much. Maya came so heavy on him. But at the end, he sang a song. It's a very moving song. Can I sing this song for you? Etam sastaya paratmanishtam Adyasitam pu vata me mahashibi Aham tarishyami durantaparam Tamo mudkundangrini seva jaiva. In this song, my dear devotees, he prescribes the end of all suffering. He tells us how we can use, even when Maya comes so heavy, our body and mind, and reach Krishna. He says, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean. Insurmountable means no one can cross it, but I shall cross over this insurmountable ocean of ignorance by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. Mukundangri, Mukunda, no? This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You want to know where this is, my dear devotees, so that you can read it? No, yes. Let me see. It's in the 11th canto. Make a note if you wish. Chapter 23. It doesn't say here, but I can tell you in a second. Someone has these little monsters, the mobile telephone. You can type in. What? 57. So where are we? 11, 23, 57. This is a motto, my dear devotees. Yes, we are tested. Yes, we are weak. But we are intelligent. If I now use my mind, if I now use my body, I can reach Krishna. He is watching me very carefully. He is not very far away from me. In fact, he is very close because he is now interested. Is this a real devotee? Or is he only in a sunshine devotee, you know, when everything is good? And when the Lord sees you, you are going through your personal challenges. You are going through the destructive forces of Maya. The Lord thinks, he is my devotee, he is my devotee. I will now come in his heart and I will remove the unfortunate things. Maybe you have seen already something of this in Vrindavan, where one time you were really like, whoa, really destroyed, really finished. You were thinking, oh, this doesn't make any sense. I drive back to wherever I'm from, New York. And you persisted, you tried your best, and the next morning you woke up, disease gone, mind problems gone, and you felt, wow, what happened to me? What happened is you somehow used this process to make it, yes, you worked with your body and your mind. That means you used them. You were not used by them. And you used them to stay in the holy dharma, to maybe pray, to turn to Krishna, to do something with bhakti. And then, whoop, all this illusion, all this maya went. And Krishna said, I'm here. I'm here, I'm there to take care of you. Very important. Therefore, in the end, I will just make a few quick points to use, to make this truth. I know a truth. T-R-U-C-E. That's the English word. Look it up in your mobile distraction machines, if you don't know the word. You need to say, body and mind, help me now. There are many scriptures. For instance, do you know this work, Manak Shiksha? It is a work of Raghunath Das Goswami. Translated into English, it means instructions to the mind. My dear mind, read this. You will find instructions how you can use the mind. In the Gita, this is addressed. Arjuna is saying, but my Lord, my mind is so distracted. It's like the wind. It's sometimes here and sometimes there. I have no control over it. How can I curb or subdue the restless mind? And Krishna gives a means. He says, abhyasa, practice, 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 and vairagya, detach. No, say, no need. I will not follow you. Our scriptures are full with this. What is the best process to say, oh brother mind, oh brother body, I need you now. We need to work together in this. Ordinarily, some immature young devotees think, no, the body is Maya, the mind is Maya, let me forget about them. Ah, that's nice intention, but the body will not forget you. The mind will not forget you. Hare Krishna. And it will get some support of Maya, and then vroom, it will come. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. Say, my dear brother mind, I need you now. We need to use you. My dear body, we need to use you in the service of Krishna, and you will 100% be successful. Before you go back, I wish to give you one recommendation. Go back, if you have to go back, with your personal dream, your personal intention. Pray before you go back, even if you stay here, this good works in both cases, to Radha Shyam Sundar. Please help me. I want to now become serious in my practice of reading the Bhagavatam and chanting my rounds. I need my body and mind. And put your spiritual inspiration, always keep it in front of your mind. Always have it there. Remember when you were in Vrindavan, what was clear to you, your insight, your best moment. Go there in your mind. This is how it was. This is what I heard. This is how I felt. This is what I saw at that moment. And cultivate this image. When you focus on your problem, like many of us do, you will lose your spiritual inspiration. But when you focus on your spiritual inspiration, you will lose your problem. That works. Because there's a certain technology how to use the mind. To put it on a spiritual goal and to, you know, to add something real to it, like those devotees in Vrindavan who practice the art of smaranam, remembering Krishna. They will see how Krishna goes in the morning with the cowherd boys. They will see how there's an ocean, a wide ocean of cows going behind them. They will remember, when Krishna comes back, he walks behind the cows. And they will see in their mind's eye how the Mother Bhumi is having problems because the cows have so many hooves. But they will see how Krishna's lotus feet come on the wounds on the surface of the earth and heal everything. And they will see in their mind's eye the impressions of Krishna's lotus feet. And they will Remember all this, and one day they will find themselves in this reality. They will think of those who are with Krishna and how they carry Krishna's items, how there is this one servant who has this wooden box full of very nice sweets for Krishna. Now there is the other servant who has a crystal pot which is covered with a very fine white cloth where is Krishna's drinking water, and who protects this pot, this crystal pot, with his own life. They will remember those who love Krishna, and one day they will also love Krishna. Focus, my dear devotees, internally on your spiritual inspiration. What you want to do, if you are Sangatan devotees, see yourself. I am in London. It's marathon. Wow! It's really cold. And London means misery in the winter. It's too much rain and everything. But you see yourself. I'm going... I'm remembering Prabhupada. I'm remembering Krishna. Oh, please take this. And when you are in London, you will work like this. The mind can be told what to do. The mind can, especially if you have purified your mind by chanting and by hearing about Krishna, then that mind will be your friend. It will be a pure mind. It will like to serve and not like to enjoy the material world. Focus, single focus on bhakti and your bhakti gods. The Avanti Brahmana, who was really challenged, gave an example where he fixed his mind beyond the shifting moods, being hurt and disappointed with people. He fixed it in the devotional service of Krishna. And he was very, very successful. He is in the Bhagavatam as an example. So, summary. If you have slept through this class, now is your time to be awakened. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to serve. I'm not as arrogant as I seem to be, especially not after the month of Kartik, but I'm trying to serve. Krishna knows what is in your heart and he wants you to return back. But he will also test you. He will send his Maya. And then when you are fixed on the spiritual platform like the Avanti Brahmana was, Krishna, who sees that you are using your temporary body and your mind, no matter what, in a devotional service, he will, from within the heart, all of a sudden, burn the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. And where there is a little light, what to speak of a torchlight, that's a lot of light. Even darkness which is 1 million years old will immediately have to go. Shop. In other words, when Krishna helps you, Maya, which is very old in all of our life, will go. This verse which we heard, how the skillful and intelligent people make use of the temporary and the unreal to reach Krishna, the eternal reality, that will help you. Hare Krishna. I thank you very much. At the very end, I have gone already over time. I cannot take questions and answers, but pray to the Lord. He will give you the intelligence to apply directly what you have heard. I'm not saying something illusory. It really works. Yes. I want to also request one moment. Only 1 minute. I cannot stop, but I want to invite all of you from our hearts to come to the Holy Name Retreat, which Burijan Prabhu, very senior Prabhupada disciple, which we will give. And then after the Holy Name Retreat, we will have a very nice retreat with Krishna Katha, based on the Bhagavatam. We call it the Govardhan Retreat. If you want to find out about the dates, there is a website, Govardhan Retreat Center or Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. You can ask in the temple and you can come and join. In the end, I want to read you something from Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote in 1967, "At present, he was in America. I'm so anxious to return to Vrindavan. Here in America, I stay in a palatial building. There are always 4 servants ready to serve me. And there's no want of prasad, lodging or care. However, I still feel that my broken kutir, without any opulence, bathing in the Yamuna, darshan of the temples, and the ripped cotton quilt of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are so very sweet. I'm so far from Vrindavan," Prabhupada writes, "but I'm realizing its mahatmya, its greatness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, as Krishna is to be worshipped, so is Vrindavan. Now I'm somewhat realizing that as Krishna is sweet, Vrindavan is similarly sweet. You bless me so that I can return to Vrindavan." What an appreciation! What a love! You are most fortunate, my dear devotees, that you are here in the holy Dham of Vrindavan. The palace which you live in the West, I don't think, I mean, maybe not a palace, you know, that is not as good as your broken room in Vrindavan. It is so nice that you have come here. Please try to come again and again. Try to hear again and again. Charge your bhakti again and again. May all of us be blessed by Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.